Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:41 British Summer Time. Today is September 3rd. Today being Labor Day in the USA, the stock markets are closed, but the futures markets are open. In Asia this morning, there was a rather mixed performance. The underperformance of Japan at the present moment is rather notable, given that other developed markets have rallied rather impressively the last few sessions. Japan is rather standing out by the fact that it has been deteriorating, and it was down by about 0.2% in here today. It is pulling back towards the lower side of the rather lengthy range that we're in, and it will an upward dynamic, such as we've seen when it has gone back to retest those lows previously, will be required to reinvigorate demand in this market. The Chinese market also remains within this downtrend. Certainly, I think there's a large degree of uncertainty with regard to how the new administration is likely to tackle some of China's structural issues. Just how they do that is likely to have a rather profound effect on the Chinese economy and indeed elsewhere. In Australia this morning, the ASX was stronger by about 0.3%. The ASX continues to hold this progression of higher reaction lows that has been evident since May. And the financials index is outperforming. And as veteran subscribers will be familiar, we really think that the outperformance of the banking sector is a rather positive outcome because banks tend to thrive on liquidity. And in many cases, when banks outperform, it is an indication that there is abundant liquidity and bull markets thrive on abundant liquidity. In Europe today, the majority of markets were in positive territory. The MIB in Italy was stronger by about over a percent, so was the CAC 40 in France. And the FTSE 100 was stronger by about 0.8%. The FTSE is another one of these markets that has held a progression of higher reaction lows since late May or early June in the case of the FTSE. And today's strength from the region of 5700 suggests that we may be in the process of forming another higher reaction low. A couple of additional days to the upside, and that will no longer be a hypothesis. But the FTSE is rather interesting because it's been going nowhere for approximately a year, 2 years. And the 6000 level represents the upper side of this lengthy range. And we're less than 250 points away from it. So the FTSE has had this steady progression of higher reaction lows with shallow reactions since May. We're potentially at the lower side of the current reaction. And the 6,000 area isn't that far off. Now, a sustained move above 6,000 would represent a breakout from a well-defined range, and it would reassert the medium-term uptrend that has been in evidence since 2009. That would open the door to a test of the highs that have been evident over the last 12 years. We tend to spend most of our time talking about the secular pattern of valuation contractions and rising dividend yield on Wall Street, but there are a number of European markets that have a very similar topography, and that is certainly applicable to the FTSE 100, which has been largely range-bound for 12 years, and in an equally lengthy period of valuation contraction. So when we think about this market, the majority of stock market investors have gone through a lengthy period of time where they have been disappointed, and a large number of people have been put off by the volatility. And certainly, the winning strategy has been to take your profits when you see them, because the volatility is such that when we do get these reactions, they tend to be extremely violent. And this environment has led to the phraseology risk on, risk off. But it will not always be this way. And when this secular pattern of valuation contraction ends, and we start to see some of these markets not only breaking up out of their current ranges, but breaking up out of their long-term ranges, then we'll be back into secular bull market territory. That's still a number of years away, but the temptation when we move from one secular market to another is to apply the lessons that we learn in one to the next. And just because we're in this situation where there is this short-term trading type of mentality doesn't mean that it will always be the best strategy to pursue. And a buy and hold strategy would be more appropriate when we do start to see some of these markets taking out their all-time highs and moving on to new high ground. When we think about that lesson and we apply it to the commodity markets, then gold has been going through this process of consolidation over the last year. One of the primary consistency characteristics of gold over the last decade has been that it has put in a positive performance every single year, and that's certainly the case this year. When that consistency starts to break down, then the buy and hold strategy that people have been employing with metals, with precious metals, and particularly gold, would then have to start to be called into question. But we're not there yet. One of the other main consistency characteristics of gold in the early part of the advance was that it was liable to go through these lengthy periods of consolidation. And we have seen that. We've seen that it has gone through 18-month consolidations, and it was capable of breaking upwards out of these ranges in Septembers of uneven years. That ended in 2009, because since then, gold has posted a new high in 2009, 2010, 2011. And it's currently at $1,692, and that's approximately $230 away from its peak. There is no guarantee that it's going to hit a new peak this year, but if it doesn't do it this year, it will probably do it next year. We're into the seasonally bullish period for gold, and the one-year period of a corrective phase that we've just gone through appears to have moved through the distribution phase and now into the accumulation phase. And we were looking for progressions of higher reaction lows, and they have been evident since May. And now gold has pushed back above its 200-day moving average and found support in the region of 1600s. Then, reasserting to the upside, we're back into the accumulation phase, and this is really very positive indeed. It would suggest that the odds are strongly in favor now that gold is going to trend back up towards its peak with a view to pushing on to new high ground in the next number of months. And with that positive tailwind from precious metals, from gold, the other precious metals should also be in a rather favorable position. And platinum in particular, because it has that fundamental backdrop with tight supply from South Africa due to labor and the fact that low prices resulted in the shuttering of some supply. Platinum found support in the region of $1,500 last week and has pushed ahead again by an additional $50 over the last two sessions. And it does look like it is going to go back up and at least test the highs that have of this trading range that has been evident for much of the last 6 and 7 months. And silver is a very similar scenario. So there is short-term bullish upside for these precious metals, but if we are back into an accumulation phase, then any kind of pullback can be regarded as an entry opportunity for these metals, and that they have significant upside potential over the medium term. Now, US Treasuries were up today by about a half of 1 point. They're at 151, 25, and 25, 30 seconds. The all-time peak is in the region of 153, so we're less than a point away from that. Over the last 12 sessions, it's turned a positive performance of in 10 of those, and a number of them on consecutive days, obviously. It found support in the region of the 200-day moving average and the upper side of the underlying trading range 12 sessions ago and has bounced emphatically. Ben Bernanke's speech on Friday hailed the Fed's intervention in the market as a success because they had pushed down government bond yields to such an extent. And with that type of attitude at the Fed, it is little wonder that investors are getting into U.S. Treasuries because they anticipate additional Fed action to lower yields even further. U.S. Treasuries have every characteristic of a bubble which is yet to pop. Liquidity in the market is increasing. The supply of bonds is increasing. Investors are literally falling over themselves to participate. Real yields are in negative territory, so this is a momentum move rather than any argument for value. But major bull markets persist until higher interest rates start to choke them off, and in the case of US Treasuries, it's likely to be when the Fed no longer needs to support the market. And that's only likely to occur when growth starts to re-emerge and the velocity of money starts to turn back upwards. And since there is little prospect of that occurring in the very short term, then this remains a momentum move that is becoming increasingly overbought in the very short term. Some consolidation of recent gains in the region of the high near 153 is becoming increasingly likely, but the trend remains broadly consistent, and a sustained move below the 200-day moving average is the minimum requirement to really suggest that supply is returning to dominance beyond the short term. With the market anticipating additional stimulus from the Fed, from the ECB, and potentially from China, and potentially even Japan, then what we've seen over the last 3 years has been this increased degree of volatility, and where rallies have tended to be remarkably persistent for as long as new liquidity is being added to the market. And when we get these reactions, they tend to be extraordinarily violent. Well, we've been rallying for 3 months, and the outlook continues to look like we're going to have additional stimulus. Short-term overbought conditions have been unwound over the last couple of weeks. We're back into potential areas of support for a significant number of risk assets, and a large number of those have found support. And it looks like we are going to see additional upside for a large number of risk assets, and that pattern will continue for as long as this liquidity continues to come into this market. But when it stops, we're probably going to get another one of these large drawdowns, but we're probably quite a bit away from that at present. The minimum requirement to suggest that supply is becoming dominant once more would be a break in the progression of higher reaction lows that had been evident since May. And almost nothing is doing that right now. Some of the best performing markets, such as Mexico, has been pulling back over the last 5 weeks. It's unwound its short-term overbought condition. It's now back in the region of the 200-day moving average and appears to be finding support. The ASEAN region, which outperformed in the early part of the year and was some of the first markets to hit new all-time highs and new recovery highs in May of this year. They've been largely range-bound for the last couple of months, but Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, and the Philippines have all firmed in the last few days, Indonesia in particular, and they also look like they are going to push on to new highs in the not too distant future. And clear downward dynamics would really be required to question that view. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.